It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ on this really cold, it's not that cold, it just kind of seems like it might be cold, on this semi-cold wintry evening, because tonight, well, today,
tomorrow.
Tonight, tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Tomorrow is the solstice.
I'm going to have to edit that on the webpage then.
Yes.
Tomorrow the is the solstice. Welcome to winter officially, everybody.
Depending on how you...
Some people believe that winter occurred at the 1st of June.
Yeah.
They're wrong. Apologies if you thought you were right. You're wrong. But welcome to the Gadget Grill, where you might be right about something else, just not...
Well, you're certainly
winter.
Right in your choice of good listening, aren't you?
Oh, well...
Okay.
Well, yes, sure.
Okay. Welcome to the Gadget Grill here on Sunday night, here on 2RDJ FM 88.1. His name is Lee Stark. My name is Gary Stark. And we have our own Vuvuzela so that we can annoy the hell out of everybody while we're talking.
I got to be honest with you, blowing on that thing really makes me feel weird. As if South Africa is invading my lungs.
Well, did you hear about one lady who was blowing it so hard she actually tore her windpipe?
Ooh, not good. But just to show everybody, I'm not going to tear my windpipe. I will blow it again for the record. Ouch. Let me not bash it again.
Okay, well, let's... Okay. Now you're going to do something quite amazing, because you're going to blow it, and at the same time, you're going to talk.
I am so skilled. I have been practicing this trick all week.
Okay.
It's so amazing. So all you have to do is watch me. So I'm going to hold this up to my lips, right, Dad?
Okay,
holding
yep.
it up to my lips,
okay.
And I can speak while I'm doing this really cool trick.
Oh, isn't that good?
Fantastic.
Well done, Lee.
Welcome to the Gadget Grill. Tonight, we're talking about... Not Vivezuelas.
Thank goodness.
Vivezuelas.
Yes.
Not Venezuela either.
What no, not Venezuela.
What are we
no.
talking about?
We're not talking about Vulvezuelas either.
We're really not talking about vulvas tonight.
No. We're talking about... Actually, Norton this week released their annual survey of internet usage.
So last week we spoke about National Cybersecurity Awareness Week and the things you can do to stop being trapped online.
Well, the Norton survey is the one, you might remember that we spoke to Norton last year about it, and this was the one where parents said that they thought their kids were spending 3 hours a week online, and the kids said, no, we're spending 270 hours a week online.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this year, that survey just got released last week, and some interesting stuff, and a few different things from last year. And I interviewed Andrew Fuller during the week, and we've got that interview coming up shortly.
Cool, so we don't have to speak for one segment.
No,
that's kind of cool.
The less we talk, the better we sound.
Oh, fantastic. We've also got that, plus a whole bunch of very wintry music and some news for you. There was a whole bunch of news this week.
A lot of interesting news.
A lot of interesting news. Was E3 this week? It was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, and a lot of interesting news came out of Electronic Entertainment Expo in California. Sadly, we weren't there. We had to relay from someone else. But,
yes.
Maybe next year.
We had our reporter there, though.
We had our invisible reporter that everyone took notice of.
Our imaginary friend.
He's not so much an imaginary friend. And it's also an anniversary of sorts, say, birthday?
It is a birthday, indeed. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys,
it's
I believe.
Brian Wilson. He must be from your generation or something.
He is the guy who is the musical genius behind the Beach Boys.
You mean there was a musical genius behind the Beach Boys?
If you listen to songs like Good Vibrations, that's all Brian Wilson.
So I take it because he was a musical genius, he got around.
He did indeed.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you're listening to us on a snowman, very, very strange, but to get better reception, would you please stop screwing around with my...
Getting the volumes right.
To get better reception on the snowman, change the buttons for eyes, just switch them a bit like knobs, and put the nose in a different place, preferably not
careful,
the backside.
Careful,
No.
It must be time for the news.
There's an easy way to listen to us. You can head to www.radio2rdj.com.
.au,
is it?
No,
it's just not. It's just like that. Yeah, that's what I thought.
www.radio2rdj.com,
where you can listen to us online without any snowman, winter solstice sort of stuff. That's right. It must be time for the news.
And the first bit of news, of course, is that Microsoft have issued
a reminder. It's so have that you have no idea what you're saying.
That's right, yeah. Microsoft have reminded us that support for XP with Service Pack 2 ends on July the 13th.
What about Service Pack 3? They're still supporting Service Pack 3?
Service Pack 3 is still being supported for a while.
Okay.
So you should move to Service Pack 3, or better yet, go to Windows 7.
Oh, that was nice, Dad. Meanwhile, over at the other side of Microsoft, they've been touting their new Xbox 360 and Kinect stuff from E3. After you, new Xbox 360 should be quieter and presumably won't die from a red ring failure, so graphics card problems. But also Kinect. Kinect was previously known as Project Natal, which is something I think we talked about with Good Game last year.
Yes, that's right.
The Kinect stuff will allow you to basically set up this unit inside your home. It looks a little bit like a little strip, and you put it, not a strip bar, shut up, Dad. It looks like a strip. I can read your mind. It looks like a strip with cameras and infrared sensors and microphones, a whole bunch of things, so that you can just move your hands and you will be put inside the
game. It's a motion sensor.
No, it does more than that. It's motion, it picks up on images, on sound. Some of the demos I've been showing include the ability to wield a lightsaber for a Star Wars sort of game without even having any accessories. That's something the Wii doesn't quite do.
Right, that's cool. Yeah, it's accessorizing without accessories.
No, who has room for all of them?
Yes. You know the MagSafe adapter for the Apple laptops?
Those annoying little pin things that they don't have pins anymore. They just have, like, they do, but they don't. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And they connect, they're held into place via magnetic catch.
Yes. I'd like that on my headphones, to be honest.
In Britain, a designer has developed a concept that does something quite similar for your main power sockets on the wall sockets.
That's kind of cool.
And the British ones are quite hefty sockets, and you shouldn't be pulling them out from the wall. Here's a design to be pulled out from the wall by the cord.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty good.
Over at NASA, who do some really cool things, they have been checking outer space and have found, this is real, 706 possible candidates for life on other planets.
As in life similar to ours?
Sort of, yeah.
How many?
706 possible planets.
That's reasonable.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That means there's a likelihood, hopefully, that we're not the smartest things out there, which, if you've listened to our show, is a very, very easy thing to believe.
That's right. In Brockton in Massachusetts, police have got an iPhone app now called Morris. Offender Recognition and Identification System. And the idea is that you use your iPhone, take a photo of a suspect, and it sends the photo back to base and compares it with an online database of photos, mugshots. And if your person is identified as a suspect, it comes back and tells you who this person is, and that you probably should duck, because he's probably got a... No, because you should probably arrest
him.
Yes. Something like that.
Here's something interesting for you. This is probably from the weird stuff department, or at least the useless ideas department. It's almost a useless gadget, but it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Aldi, the people who make cars. Aldi, not the people who sell cheap.
Aldi.
Aldi.
A-U-D-I.
A-U-D-I, yes, those ones. Yes, not the ones who sell cheap stuff.
No.
Because it's nothing this car company produces cheap. Anyway, they have something called, it's a sound concept that has 62 speakers for proper surround sound. I'm just going to show the picture to the microphone, because the microphone really cares.
Yeah, I saw this during the week, and I thought, what a waste. It's a bloody car.
It's a car. And,
with road noise.
And the idea is that around the entire car, literally, even on all the dashboard, on all the side panels, basically, is a speaker from every direction. So, you know how occasionally when you listen to music, it's just not loud enough, or it's not quite the right balance of sound?
It's a car.
Well, some people like good car sound experience, you know? Some people really get into their Shania Twain. I don't.
Yes.
I get away from Shania Twain as much as possible.
Belgian artist Tim Bowden created a graphic novel back in 2001, and it was based upon the Oscar Wilde play, The Importance of Being Earnest. Instead of doing it the normal way, though, he converted all of the female parts to male parts and turned the play into a gay satire.
Oh, sounds fun.
Okay, well, somebody decided to develop that as a cartoon concept.
Cool.
And put it on the iPhone.
Let me guess, Apple don't like that.
No, they didn't. They blocked out all sorts of things on it.
Which is, it does bring into line that whole Apple, we don't support pornography
sort
of thing.
First of all...
It's not porn.
First of all, Apple eventually relented and the cartoon is available now.
Oh, that's good. I should get it right now.
But, But yeah, but you know, sort of the controlling issues that Apple have.
I use Android. No, I have an iPad in my hand right now.
You use Android. Well, on the subject of Android.
Hey.
On the subject of Android, do electric sheep keep records of your browsing history?
Have you met some electric sheep? I know. Not only do they keep records,
I thought you just had blow-up sheep.
We said we weren't going to talk about that. We said we weren't going to talk about it. Hey, moving on.
In the Android OS, in the Android operating system, they've discovered on the HTC Incredible an undocumented feature. Sorry, a bug.
Oh, right, sure. An undocumented feature is the bug.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yes. As part of the normal functionality of the operating system, it captures screenshots of pages that you browse to. Saves them away so it can have thumbnails there for you to show you later on where you've been if you need to go back to a particular page, which is pretty good.
Well, okay, here's something for you.
The problem is, just let me finish for a moment, please.
I didn't want to finish.
Sorry. The problem is that when you give the Android a reset, even if you do a factory reset, these are stored in a different part of the system storage, file storage, and they don't get wiped. Problem.
Yeah, bit of problem. But you know, if you're going to attack Android a bit, I'm going to attack.
I'm not attacking Android.
You're pointing out a fault.
Yeah, there's a problem.
How about a fault with Apple? You know how we've been talking in the past few weeks about virus.
No such thing as a fault.
Of course not. Faults with Apple, they don't occur.
No.
I was in the Apple store today, and apparently the metal wall inside the Apple store in Sydney, causes problems with their compasses. In fact, I tested it with my HTC compass inside my Desire, and it found there was an abnormal magnetic field there. There's a reason you can't use a lot of compass and GPS equipment on the top floor. That
where the genius bar is.
I think it
not
might be
so smart.
Interesting.
Geniuses.
I'm going to call them up and find out for real if that's actually the case. Anyway, the Apple story I've got here is that there were some updates this week for Snow Leopard 10.6, 10.6.4. In fact, my computer at work is now running more slowly as a result of them. However,
there you go.
Apparently, one.
Welcome to the world of Windows.
Thank you. Apparently, if I could only give anything to run a PC at work. Apparently, one of the updates was included for protecting Macs from a Trojan that had been designed from another virus. This is the second virus in 2 weeks for Macs. This one allowed people to gain control of the computer and turn it into a zombie machine.
Into a zombie machine. Oh, that's useful.
Yeah.
I could do with a zombie
brains,
machine.
Brains. Brains, yes. In autumn, the brains make more sense.
Yes, you're going to serenade me with the...
I will, but I'll let Johnny Coltrane and Johnny Hartman serenade you first.
Wonderful music here.
Comes autumn with her serenade.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. And speaking from that voice in my head, here's some people who aren't us.
Yes, indeed. During the week, Symantec issued the Norton Online Family Report 2010.
They did it like this.
They did indeed. Oh dear. And I managed to speak this week with Professor Andrew Fuller, who's a psychologist, and had a very interesting chat with Dr. Fuller. And would you like to hear what Dr. Fuller had to say?
What did he have to say?
That's not what he said, but have a listen. It's really quite interesting.
I've got Andrew Fuller on the phone. Andrew is a psychologist or psychiatrist, Andrew?
Psychologist.
And you've been doing some interesting stuff with Symantec and Norton, haven't you, Andrew?
Yes, we've been doing a survey across 14 countries of parents and young people about online behaviour and coming up with some fairly interesting findings of what's been going on. For example, that young people have well over 50 online friends, some of whom they've met face to face, of course.
Okay, well, I've got a problem with the use of the term friends in an internet context. You know, sort of in for instance, if we take the Facebook context of the word friend, these are not people who are necessarily going to be friends. They're not people who you'll ever meet, who you'll ever necessarily be friendly with. They're just people with whom you have an online connection. They may be at best acquaintances. But that's me.
Well, this is probably where you and I are at risk of showing our age.
There's lots of that to show.
That's right. So these young people would seriously contest that view. I think they are very clearly redefining friendship, and they're basically defining online friendship as a real relationship. It's something that's positive in the main, but it also, of course, has its pitfalls as well, as we know. So that kids can be extraordinarily emotionally distressed by indirection to somebody that goes wrong, even somebody they've never actually met face to face.
Right.
And as you say, never likely to. So it's pretty concerning.
Interesting. I remember when we spoke with Symantec about this particular survey last year, there were some very, very interesting results. For instance, the parents' conception of how much time a child spent on the internet and how that child used the internet, how that compared and contrasted with the child's perception of how much time they spend and how they use the internet. And I believe there's some striking differences when we compare those numbers from last year with what the results are of the survey, Andrew.
Yeah, what we're finding really is the parents are catching up. They're becoming more internet savvy. So they're actually starting to have a sense of how really important this world is and how much time it consumes as well, of course, for their children, which is good. I think that, you know, we do need to kind of wise up around these issues and start to really think about talking to kids about it. So it's an important survey in that way, I think, and I guess it's good to see that Australian parents are perhaps a little bit more aware than in many of the other countries as well.
Okay, what do you take from that? Do you think that you've said that you know, sort of that it's better that parents are becoming more aware of it? How about from the child's perspective? Let's look at it from the child's perspective. What are we seeing from this survey, Andrew?
What we're seeing really is that the online world is just an incredibly integral part of their experience. You know, the days of sort of suggesting that maybe we need to remove access to this sort of world for young people, I think, are well and truly gone. That young people see that the intensity of their friendships in this setting to be incredibly important. They see it as indispensable really for their own lives. Many of them use it productively. So while the idea basically of, say, a pimply adolescent who basically, sitting alone, isolated, playing a game is the stereotype of a computer user. It's certainly no longer the case. Girls are using it, and boys are also using it very socially. And so we need to be aware of that and then think about how we can help young people to have good experiences in the main from it.
Okay,
which is exactly what they're doing.
Okay, now that's interesting because boys are using it socially. I can understand that girls... Yeah, girls are more sociable than boys are, as a general observation. And to find that that boys are using it in a sociable, in a social manner, is perhaps a little bit surprising for me, Andrew.
It is interesting, isn't it? That boys basically will find a sort of short, sharp chat that they will have in messaging and also in chat rooms to be much more attuned to their style. So when there are a lot of words, boys sometimes get overwhelmed and switch off, as we know. So when they can have kind of rapid fire back and forth comments, they seem to interact much more. So probably many of the conversations that are on the internet aren't deep ones, obviously, and they're not ones necessarily that you'd want to have face to face, but at least they're conversing. They're actually chatting about stuff. And so they're having a sense of involvement and interaction with their friends, probably in some instances, I'd imagine, deeper than they would be actually having when they're at school or in their family.
Let's talk about negative experiences for a moment, because there was a pretty high percentage of children who'd had negative experiences in their use of the internet. Can you expand on that for me, please?
Yes, it's not just the number. I think it's about 1 in 10, isn't it, from memory? I haven't got the survey in front of me, but I think that's right. Is that right? But it's the intensity of it as well. So it's not just, I mean, obviously, in any kind of human communication...
63% of this have experienced some negative situation online. Yeah. 63%. So that's pretty high.
That is pretty high, isn't it? Sorry, I haven't got the survey in front of me. it's enormously high, and I think that basically what we're seeing is that in the rapid fire world of cut and thrust of conversation that goes on in chat rooms, things when they do wrong quite fast, and they are quite impactful. So we do need to really start to think about how we can help young people to learn about netiquette, and also to understand what to do should a conversation like that become difficult. The problem being, of course, that some of these conversations are occurring while parents are asleep. And so young people are tired, they're vulnerable, and they have no social supports if they if something does go wrong.
We'll have a little bit more of that in just a few moments. But, Lee, quite interesting some numbers there. 63% of kids on the internet have had negative experiences on the internet.
Oh, that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, have you seen the amount of, bad websites out there?
Oh, this is not... we're not talking about bad websites.
I know. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm trying to make you laugh. It didn't work very
well.
No,
it didn't. No. Comedy's the hardest thing in the world to do.
No, it's quite easy to do.
Actually, that's harder to do than comedy.
What, Changing Seasons?
Milk Arrowhead Biscuits.
I was trying to do a segue. You were trying to do a really bad joke.
Yes, I know. Yep. Well, seasons change.
We are in that season where it's changing, especially tomorrow. It's a perfect song for today.
Corey and Bailey.
Ray.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
More people than ever are listening to community radio. The 2008 McNair Ingenuity Community Radio National Listener Survey results show that 57% of Australians aged 15 years and above listen to community radio each month. That's over 9.5 million people. When it comes to local news and current affairs, support of Australian musicians and specialist programming you won't hear anywhere else, no one delivers like community radio.
For more information, go to cbonline.org.au or call 02 9310 2999.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the grill, and I know. And I'm just that good. I'm just that good.
Look, Ma, no hands.
Look, Ma, no lips. we'll get back into.
Careful.
Hey. It's the Boobers Whaler, not the. Yeah.
Okay. On the subject of house rules. Talking with Andrew Fuller this week about the Norton survey that was released during the last week, and we got to discussing rules that that parents should set for their children.
You mean at one point you were supposed to set rules for me?
Apparently, yes.
You so screwed that up.
In how you
my own radio show, you so screwed that up.
I know. Let's have a listen to more of the interview with Andrew Fuller.
Yeah, Australians are interesting, aren't they? I mean, you got to love them. They like to basically have the discussions, and they're well-intentioned people, but they don't want their kids to be too controlled, so they tend not to check up too much on them as well. They'll set up some rules and some expectations, but then they often won't use some of the technological means that they could to probably spy on their kids. And in some ways, I'm sympathetic to that, but basically they understand that this is going to be a trust issue.
Well, I think trust is probably one of the most important things, and this is part of what we discussed last year when we were discussing this, that the most important thing with all of this is the communication between the parent and the child to talk about what experiences they're having, to ask them if they're having negative experiences, to explain to them what the house rules are, and ask them does the child think that the house rules are reasonable? If not, why not, and how can we deal with it? And, are you following the house rules, and how are we going to deal with it?
Yeah, I think that's right. And however, I think that we can sometimes underestimate how absolutely tempting that interaction is, so that there are kids that probably will say, you know, with good intentions, yes, I'll abide by these rules, but it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, oh, well, I'll just check up on how such and such is going.
I'm well familiar with that, and that brings us, I guess, to the next topic that I want to discuss, which, of course, is the time online. Now, last year when we looked at this, there was a big discrepancy between how much time online the parents thought the children were spending, as distinct from what the children said that they were spending. This year, it's pretty much line ball, isn't it, between the two parties?
That's right. So parents have wised up, I think, is what we're finding. And I think that's a good thing. So it does put them in a stronger position to really have more informed conversations. They may not be using necessarily these technological means themselves, but at least they're aware of what's going on. It also means probably that some of them have heeded the message about putting computers in public spaces, so they're more visible and they're more able to observe how often their kids are actually online, so which are good signs, really.
Right. Nick, let's get back to negative experience just to finish off with Andrew. How do we deal with that? Because that's probably one of the most significant things now. We've heard a couple of cases recently of people having very sad outcomes as a result of what can only be described as a negative internet experience. And how's a parent, how's a family, do you deal with this sort of thing in terms of trying to make sure that you don't end up with that sort of an outcome, but still try and have as open an environment as you can within within the family's use of the computers?
It's horrendously scary, isn't it? And I think that one of the number one reason why young people don't tell their parents when they're having something awful happen online is that they fear that the parent will deny them access to the computer world. So the first thing that I recommend the parents to do is to say to their children, if something bad happens to you online, come and talk to me. I promise you, I'm not going to ban the access to the computer. I understand that's not going to work, but we do need to sort it through. And by at least making that statement, I'm not going to ban you from it, there's a chance that the kid will come forward and say, okay, this is what's going on. That gives us a chance then to start to sort it out. You know, wake me up if I'm asleep. Let's talk about it. But as well as that, I think that it's very important that in schools that we start to gather together small groups of more sort of senior students who are able to help some students if they have a difficult situation online to work their way through it and disentangle themselves from it.
To act as a group of peer mentors, effectively.
Yes, that's right, because I think when this occurs, you don't know who's seen it, how many people believe it, whether the people that are saying it are really the identity they mean, and so it's very confusing. And often the ways that young people do this are not that well understood by adults, really. And so it's really, I think, young people that are a bit computer savvy, who are able, you know, to have some social skills, they can often help younger students and younger people through just realising this is not as traumatising, as devastating as it seems to be.
Andrew Fuller, thank you very much for chatting with us here on the Gadget Grill. I appreciate the time that you spent.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Yeah, some very interesting stuff there, Lee, don't you think?
So basically you screwed up when raising me and didn't do things the way you should have. That's basically what I got. What I got from that was that you screwed up and I am the result of that screw up.
Yeah, well,
I mean, in your defense, the internet was still in its infancy, and as an adult, you didn't know a whole lot about it.
No.
Even though you're a software programmer, and technically it's your job to know about that sort of thing.
No, I don't have to know about these things.
If you kind of hope you would.
I'm an applications programmer.
What application are you programming now, huh?
I've got a couple of things happening on the iPad.
Oh, right. Anyway, good information there from Symantec.
Very good information there from Symantec. We're going to go down to Melbourne now.
Are we?
We're going to go down to Melbourne.
Oh, we are, because that's the only place where they could possibly have four seasons in one day. Crowded house.
Four seasons in one day, flying in the depths of your imagination, worlds above and worlds below. Sun shines on the black.
And for the mathematically challenged, you can divide...
Shut up, shut up, shut up. No one was asking you anything. You go back to your programming of iPad applications, you... In case you're wondering, you're in the Gadget Grill with a Vuvuzela complex. If you thought you'd escaped them from FIFA World Cup, think again.
Think again,
think
yes.
Again. Yeah. Although the good news is they won't be here next week. They're sending them back to South Africa.
Are they? Oh, okay.
Oh, we are.
Well, are we? I might get one on my iPad.
Oh, my God, it's motion controlled. I just realized that. It's motion controlled.
It is motion controlled.
So in case you were wondering how
no,
I
No, not
was...
that sort of motion.
Not that sort of motion at all. In case you were wondering how it was possible for me to blow while speaking, which is pretty much we won't go there. In case you were wondering how it's possible to blow my Vuvuzela while speaking, it's because I have it on an iPad app, which is also an iPhone app, actually. It basically lets me change the color of the Vuvuzela, different teams. Look, now it's,
it's bright yellow and green.
Yellow and green.
Australia's colors.
All South Africa. I think the same.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Same colors. And I can press on the Vuvuzela and it will blow, or I can shake it and it blows.
Wonderful.
I know. Well, not really. I mean, have you heard the damn thing?
I know. Can't avoid the damn things, can you?
No, absolutely
so,
not.
So the Vuvuzela. The Vuvuzela is our
useless gadget.
It's our useless app for the week as well, is it?
I do like the symbol it comes with, a little warning symbol with a Vuvuzela on it. I have a little yellow warning sign
that's
that
cute.
You normally get pulling rocks.
I might download it for my iPad as well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you hadn't been paying attention, you may have noticed that Lee this week is using an iPad.
I know, I'm reviewing this thing. In yes. fairness, I'm not... can I be honest, just quickly?
Please. Make a pleasant change.
Screw you, man. Hey, you're the one who screwed up as a parent, okay? Listening to that report, I learned a few things, and none of them from you. No. thank you, Symantec, for teaching me how to be a son. The iPad, it's nice. I do like parts of it. Some of the apps are great. But
there's some
comes,
very creative apps, aren't
that
there?
That comes down to app development.
The device. But what other device could you do something like some of those apps that we've seen? On what other device would they work?
You know what? This week we'll see.
Okay.
This week we will see, because there's going to be some interesting stuff happening from a few companies this week.
Indeed, there are, because there's going to be...
Huawei, at least among many. Samsung have a new phone.
Yes, there's a new Samsung phone, new Huawei devices, including their pad.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. I think there's even a few things I'm not allowed to talk about. Some I know already, some I don't know, but
okay.
I know I'm not allowed to talk about
them. Well, there's the...
Yeah, that thing that you last mentioned, they're quite cool.
Yes, it
is. It's a shame
we don't
have a gibberish translator. But
no.
We do have...
Well,
I'm not going to blow it again. I'm really not going to blow it again.
If you blow it again, you'll really blow it.
Actually, I might blow it while Dad's ending the show, while leaving us now. By the way, if you head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, which is the name website we haven't mentioned in a while because I've been too lazy to update it, we're actually now in the process of updating it, rebuilding it, complete with a whole bunch of news items we spoke about tonight, and others we actually missed because Dad couldn't shut me up. See what a crappy parent you were?
Indeed.
You couldn't even teach me to shut up.
You have been listening to the Gadget
Grill. You
couldn't
even teach me to shut up. It's so much easier if you hit the mute button.
I can do that. You can.
Go on,
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
See what happens when you turn my mic back on?
I know.
Good parent.
The Gadget Grill is brought to you every Sunday night here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 by Lee Stark and Gary Stark. And you may also listen to it on the internet on www.radio2rdj.com.
You can even listen to it if you put your ear up to a Vuvuzela.
No.
But in reverse.
Yes. We will be back next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with more interesting news and...
Do you think?
Talk about gadgets and technology.
Really?
Yes.
We're going to end the show with a final winter song because it's pretty much the start of winter tomorrow. So this is the Brubeck brothers, who are related, in case you were curious, to the wonderfully brilliant Dave Brubeck. They're his sons.
Indeed.
This is from their CD Intuition. It's a few years old, but it's a fantastic track. This is Still As Winter, which it is quite out there.
It is still winter and it is still as winter.
It's quite still as. It's still as winter.
We'll see you next Sunday night. My name is Gary Stark. Have a great week.
My name is Lee Stark, and I'm a Vuvuzela obsessed nut. Have a good week, Australia.